The caloric intake fell by about half. The average Cuban lost 10 to 20 pounds of body weight. There were a number of health epidemics, including a neuropathy, an eye neuropathy epidemic that resulted in nervous system damage and some eye and vision damage. So this rapid decrease in caloric intake was a serious, was really seen as the most serious problem on the island at the time and became a priority issue to solve. So with this public-private partnership, they were able to turn it around, and within just a few years, there were tens of thousands of urban gardens around the city and peri-urban gardens, and they were growing 30 to 50% of the fresh vegetables eaten on the island, introducing vegetables that had never been eaten in Cuba before, like broccoli, cauliflower, some things like eggplant that weren't so common, and really improved the quality of the diet. I mean, a lot of those, especially green leafy vegetables, providing key micronutrients and the lack of other proteins. And it changed the cityscape. It vastly improved the food security situation, but it also changed the cityscape. It provided tens of thousands of jobs, significantly for retired people and for women and for youth. And
Catherine, today, yes, since we only have 30 seconds, how much food is imported into Cuba? How much do they rely on outside food? And this organic food movement, or farming movement, how much hope do you think it has in a new Cuba?
The figures around how much food is imported to Cuba today is hotly contested. It's still the majority. Some figures show 50%, up to 80% of the food is still imported. Wheat, for example, you can't grow in the tropics. They have to import it. They import a lot of frozen chicken from the United States through Tyson Foods and others. They import rice. But they are still increasing food production on the island of roots, tubers, rice, beans, fruits, and vegetables. And the third agrarian reform that's happening now, giving land, 150,000 people have asked for parcels of land in this new land redistribution.
Catherine, we have to leave it there. I want to thank you so much for being with us, filmmaker Catherine
thank
Murphy. And also, this happening today, landmark act of sports diplomacy, soccer's New York Cosmos on Tuesday will become the first U.S. professional team to play in Cuba since Presidents Castro and Obama announced their countries would reestablish diplomatic relations. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us.
You're listening to WUSB Stony Brook. The time is 6 o'clock p.m. It's a Tuesday night. And at this time, it's time for Off the Wall. Thanks for listening. Thank you. Okay. You're listening to Off the Wall. Hi, I am Kyle. I'm a guest engineer, and I'm joined tonight by Emmanuel.
This is Emmanuel, and I'm a guest, I guess. Yeah, I like the sound of that. You're not a guest engineer. You're an engineer. All you're right. A rootin' tootin' engineer.
Rootin' tootin' engineer, yeah. That's me.
That's pretty much your title.
Yep.
But I don't know. Do you want to talk about this? The thing is, people assume a lot of things, but people assume that everything we say on the radio is true, and sometimes that's true, but not all the time. For instance, as far as planning out the program, we talk about how spontaneous and, you know, we do what we wish, and well, I mean, there are certain limitations to that, obviously. And what a lot of people don't realize is how scripted the show is, and how even this is something I'm reading from. And we basically plan all these spontaneous things out. It shouldn't come as a surprise when we're ordered to do certain things. And most of the time we just do it. You know, we don't talk about the fact that we're being ordered to do it. But this kind of struck me by surprise, the memo that we both got today ordering you to do the show next week from Seattle. No, I was a little surprised by that.
Yeah, you know, so. I had a feeling I was expecting it was going to come up, but they laid it on me this time.
You don't question. You do what they say, but it's just usually you get a little more notice than that. But
right. And I'm going to set up as best a remote connection as I can.
Well, you're a professional, written to an engineer. You can do these kinds of things. It's not beyond the realm of possibility, but.
Well, wish me luck.
Oh, you don't need luck, Kyle. You don't need luck. You'll be fine. I need luck, though. I haven't been behind that board. You know how long it's been since I've actually been at the controls? I've been the guest now for quite some time.
You don't say.
And next week I have to step up and be where you are. And literally, you're 4 feet higher than me. I wish there was video here. Looking down in the very sort of... I'm not sure if it's intentionally condescending sneer on your face or that's just how it is. Why did they build it so high up where you get to look down like that? And there's a beam of light on me, too.
Yeah, I can feel the heat from it.
But next week, I'll have to climb up there and do that. And I won't even be able to look down on you because you'll be on the phone.
Well, the phone is a little lower from this vantage. I can report. You have that to look forward to.
I'll look down on the phone, yeah. But, okay, yeah, seriously, you'll be back in Seattle next week.
Live and direct, yes.
And we have an adventure coming up shortly after that, which is might put all other adventures we've had to shame.
This one's pretty good.
Can't say a whole lot. We can say that it'll take place... in Alaska and Canada. And that's all we can say.
That's sufficient.
You guys just going to have to digest that for a while. And that's coming up in just, I don't know, about a month or so. All sorts of other fun things planned. So no end of excitement here at the radio station at Off the Wall. We've been up to some interesting things around town and doing a lot of organizing and fixing and building, things like that.
Yeah, a lot of planning and keeping track of all the different projects and things you have to maintain. There's a lot of scheduling boy, we've had a lot of success though, and archiving too. It's crazy to be doing a lot of creative stuff and then more logistical things, and it's wow, it's a whirlwind, but it's a lot of fun.
I like archiving. Archiving is great. We archive all kinds of things, from old videotapes to old audio tapes to copies of shows that we've done. It's basically preserving history in one form or another. We were talking about how we've been archiving reel-to-reel tapes and listening to radio from the early 70s, back when radio was really good. Imagine going down the FM dial and not hearing all the crap you hear these days, hearing, you know, stations playing jazz, stations talking about the music, kind of like a whole lot of USBs, but different, all different in their own ways. That's how it used to be. I just feel sad, you know, that so many things used to be better, and now it's just gotten all kind of bland and commercialized and not exciting anymore.
That's true. That's true, but I think there are definitely still people that are carrying on and new. They're taking some of those forms and reinterpreting them, and there are, it makes the unique places, unique projects mm-hmm. and groups and institutions stand out, I think, that much more when they become kind of special, something off the beaten path, something of quality, something with diversity and that kind of homemade, homespun, local feel. Yeah, yes. All of that.
Yes.
Whether it's talking about the drive here or drives halfway around the world, it's cozy. It's something familiar. I guess I'm getting that comfortable in that sense with this weather. There's a lot of rain, precipitation.
It's
I love it.
Good. It was warm and now it's rainy and cool and that's
yeah. I love that. Yeah. I the heat kind of caught me a little bit. It's with the allergy season, we talked about that a little bit, but gosh, it's nice when it just kind of washes out and mm-hmm. there's a little bit of weather coming in and good breeze.
I like weather. Weather is good. People try to avoid weather all the time. Oh, it's raining. It's horrible. Oh, it's snowing. It's terrible. It's a storm.
I can't
relate.
Oh my God.
What do you want? You just want it to be bland and boring all the time. This is my thing. I'm always battling bland and boring, whether it's in radio, whether it's in television programs or movies or books or people or weather or anything. People seem to want nothing. They want it to be just the same all. You want the same all the time? Go to Singapore. Every day lasts the same amount of time because they're on the equator, and you don't get a winter, you don't get a summer, you don't break a lot of laws because everybody cares about rules and things like that. Go there, and you won't have much variety. That's for sure. And I'm going to get a bunch of Singapore email. I know that. I know there are interesting people there. But the point is, here, this area, this time, we get all kinds of different things. And sometimes you have to seek it out. Sometimes you have to look for the good things. But I like it when nature itself gives you variety. And when you seek out something that's just the same all the time, like you just want to go down to some hot state. I won't say any names of states because we'll get more mail. You just go there so that you don't have any kind of adverse conditions ever. I just think that's, you're doing yourself a tremendous injustice.
Yeah, that dynamic nature, it keeps you alive. It keeps you on your toes. And boy, it's something to talk about, something to plan your meal or your mm-hmm. next move. You have to pivot. You have to be agile with the environment. And I mean, what's hot cocoa without a cold day?
Yes.
And or a good soup or something like
the
that.
The wind howling through the trees.
Exactly. There's so much comfort and wow. I mean, you do these things with, that's the same reason you have a barbecue and or a fish fry in hot or nice weather uh-huh. and that kind of thing. So
we have stood on the porch during a blizzard and during a rainstorm, during just a very dark night, hearing wildlife moving around, not knowing what it is. And it's all been magical. It's all been amazing. It's very, very different. You know, you see the trees completely bare. You see the trees completely covered with leaves. You
yeah.
see flowers blooming that you didn't know were there.
Mm-hmm.
All sorts of transitions, all sorts of changes. That is what makes life interesting.
Yeah.
And we should be embracing that. We should be embracing different kinds of music. We should be embracing different opinions, different news items, just all kinds of variety. Variety, I would like to say, is the spice of life. All right? That's what I think. I just thought of that now, and I think it might be a little confusing to people because obviously neither variety nor life is food, and spice, you know what, I'll go back and I'll work on it because I don't think it came out quite right.
Well, you might have something there.
No, I don't think
but, let's move on because I think we have something for everybody listening. Which is a show.
Oh, I thought
that was
you were going to play an instrument or something.
Cue.
Mike. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not reading the notes. Well, okay. sorry. I'm sorry, management and everybody who I'm disappointing right now. FA Cup is over. Yes.
The FA Cup, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. You know, we started this back last August with Nunnington Griff and the 10th tier down, and they lost good 10-0. And ever since then, we've been basically following the team that beats the team that we followed before.
Right.
And almost every time, that's what happened. We always picked the wrong team. And that's no exception in the FA Cup final, where we had Aston Villa playing Arsenal. Arsenal were the champions. Well, guess what? Arsenal are the champions again because they beat them 4-0. Yeah, it was another slaughter. So now it's all over. After all that time, from August until May, basically, it's been one tournament. They played every few weeks. And, Arsenal, not the same team as last year's, are the winner. And like we mentioned last week, they don't get anything from winning. Usually you advance to the Europa League if you win the FA Cup. And the Europa League is this Europe-wide competition, not the Champions League. That's a little bit higher than the Europa League, but it's entertaining all the same. So it would have been kind of cool if Aston Villa had won. They would have advanced to the Europa League because they didn't already qualify for the Champions League by finishing high up in the Premier League, which is the domestic league. Arsenal, however, did qualify for the Champions League. So since they qualify for the Champions League, they cannot qualify for the Europa League. So they basically played the FA Cup for nothing because they didn't gain anything from it.
Right. The love was not spread.
And exactly. The way it used to work, Aston Villa, as consolation, would have gotten into the Europa League since Arsenal already were in the Champions League. Well, they can't be in both. So, all right, at least let the runners-up get into something. But no, they changed the rules this year. So that no longer happens. Instead of the runner-up for the FA Cup getting into the Europa League, it's the next highest team in the Premier League that gets into the Europa League next year. So
weird.
That team is Southampton.
Oh boy.
They finished in seventh place. Yeah, always seventh place is what you strive for. Seventh place, they qualify for the Europa League starting, I think, in August again.
Oh boy. So
since there is some sort of connection between the teams we were following and Southampton. In other words, Southampton never would have gotten in had the team we were following not lost. We're going to follow Southampton through the Europa League when that season begins. So, yeah, you thought it was over, folks? It's not. We're just going to the next tier.
and off we go.
It would have been nice if it was Aston Villa we were following, but it just can't happen. But, yeah, that's it for the FA Cup. I'm sick of it.
All right. Well, thanks for that update.
Yeah, and I'm sorry for the lack of enthusiasm. It's just, you know, every team we follow seems to lose. You have to wonder. At least one team asked us not to do that again. But
was that the letter that was tied to a brick?
No, that was a local person. Yeah, somebody didn't appreciate us talking about European football. Which, football's corrupt. We all know that. FIFA, that happened after the show last week.
Wasn't that something?
That was something else. what amazed me was that it was Americans behind it. You know, we don't care about world football at all.
It could never possibly eclipse the NFL.
Yeah. But somehow, over there in Switzerland, who is it that's arresting the FIFA officials? Americans.
Yep.
Go figure. I guess because they use our banks at some point. But, you know, don't they use banks in other countries as well? And don't they use computers and routing? I'm sure any country could say, yeah, this falls under our jurisdiction and we're going to get you now. The thing is, if it was the NFL, all right, and there's corruption in the NFL, you know, Deflategate, it might not be the same thing as whatever they're doing in FIFA. Yeah. Now, you're either hissing at me or you're imitating a deflating football.
No,
let's
one
just
will ever know.
Leave that as a mystery. If the NFL were accused of corruption by, say, somebody in, Tanzania, why'd I pick Tanzania? That's not likely.
Tanzania.
Spain. Let's do that instead. You know, would Spanish officials come over and arrest NFL people? I'd like to see that.
No, that would be weird. That would be really, really
weird.
We
can't even get people to arrest George W. Bush, you know? And he did a lot worse things than deflate some footballs.
He did.
Yeah. He did.
He did.
He really did.
Yeah.
He really did.
It's true.
Yeah.
Anyway. He made it, what was it? Is it military? He gave immunity to any oil contractors. That's what it is. In Iraq. That was Bush.
Immunity from what? ever having to do anything responsible?
Yeah, legal immunity.
Wow. Yeah, that's the kind of thing he did.
That I'm. You can check me on that.
Uh-huh.
I just read that on something the other day.
I gotta say, you know, we've been encoding videotapes, as we said, and right now it's the Gulf War era that I'm witnessing. Basically encoding four tapes at a time, 8 hours each, and you get to see, like, you know, CNN newscasts and news bulletins and things like that, and it's, you know, the war is underway, and Saddam Hussein was just captured, and, you know, you kind of relive it all, and you realize just how ill-advised this whole thing was. You see these people saying things that are complete lies, and you see the scant attention given to those who opposed that military adventurism. And, you know, it just makes you angry seeing this. Seeing it unfold. You're trying to stop the VCR and say, no, don't do that. And it just keeps happening again and again the same way. So many lives lost, so much money wasted, so much craziness unleashed, and we will be paying the price for this for such a long time, but that's why you preserve history, so you can look back and see just how it all happened in the first place, and wow.
I liken it to particle accelerators and just smashing atoms, and you just sort of look at the debris after to try to interpret and find, you know, try to slow it down, and and it's, these are the decades I think we're spending just to kind of figure out,
yeah,
where and what occurred, you know, what happened to American servicemen and what kinds of people we've now created as a result, domestically and internationally. It's just this great experiment that we're going to pick up the pieces and forensically interpret and then make some other, ill-directed choices, I'm sure.
You pick the worst.
If we don't learn from it.
You pick the worst catastrophe that has ever hit America, uh-huh. All right? Whether it be the aftermath of World War II or some outbreak, a flu epidemic back in the early part of the 20th century, something that really had a profound effect on the nation. And I don't think what George W. Bush and company did in the early part of this century, I think they would basically have done the most damage, because the mental health of so many people who went over there, the actual people who died both there and here, how our infrastructure has suffered directly as a result, our opinion around the world has suffered directly as a result, what has happened in those regions may never be repaired.
Are you adjusting for inflation?
No, I'm not. It boggles the mind. You kind of just want to watch cartoons and not think about it. But it happened. It happened, and, you know, the right thing to do is to deal with it, FIFA style. You know, just go out there and say, you guys, you're going to have to answer for what you did. You know, you don't just get a free pass. I know when you're in politics, people look to Obama to, like, you know, put the hammer down and go after these people. When you're in politics, you don't have that freedom. I mean, you're really naive if you think that's the case. There is not one person. I don't care if Bernie Sanders gets elected or Elizabeth Warren or anybody that you think is cool now. When they become president, there are certain things they just cannot do. You know, watch House of Cards. It explains everything, right? We're in the American one now. We watched the British one first. And yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, I guess it's nuanced is what is the diplomatic way of saying it. But certainly you have to, but it doesn't mean that you can't participate in the process and follow and even express yourself regarding it.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually, most of that's your duty as a public citizen and a voter. So, but you have to understand that there are a lot of things at play and the way things actually work, I mean, if anything is to get done, there's a lot more interconnectedness and I don't know, causal.
Yeah.
things that are not, it's counterintuitive in some situations, things that are not necessarily connected or perhaps they're coincidental in timing, things of that nature are occurring, and the machinations there therefore can yield results that maybe you don't understand, or there, you know, you can understand because you're actually not involved as much. But it's important to try to understand it as much as possible, I think.
Yeah, and I think people are the ones...
And imagine
right.
what's going on.
But we are the ones with the real power. We are the ones that can actually start things moving. You can't expect policy. I mean, we were watching C-SPAN. A lot of the country actually was watching C-SPAN 2 on Sunday because of the whole Patriot Act thing, the debate going on. Now, you know, Rand Paul did something that every politician should have done. Stand up to this nonsense.
He filibustered.
He filibustered, but mostly he spoke up and said things that made sense.
And he was forecasting what he was planning on doing. He's stating his intentions prior to doing them.
Uh-huh.
And laying it out very clearly. I will block this. I will not allow this to go on. And saying what I think a lot of other people are trying to downplay and cover up with, mm-hmm. with other rhetoric that doesn't make any sense. Well, it doesn't really communicate the concerns of a lot of people about this stuff.
Yeah, and we'd be foolish if we sat here and said that Rand Paul really is the most idealistic person in Washington now. No, I mean, let's be honest, this was part of his campaign. He basically saw a tide turning and decided to be the person to address that tide and say, hey, I'm standing up for your freedom and liberty. I'm bucking the tide here. Two tide references in the same sentence. Bucking the trends here.
Yeah, you can't buck a tide.
Yeah, I don't think you can do that.
Tide's going to buck you.
And then you simply you go out there and you see how it was received. And then you become the poster child for an entire movement without actually doing much except saying what's on lots of people's minds.
He had a lot of individuals listening uh-huh. at that moment. Yeah. Well, and people were witnessing it, and I think almost there's some adulation, there's some thanks for expressing that because it's not being heard. It wasn't being expressed by anybody else.
You can actually say that the Patriot Act, that part of the Patriot Act, expired because of Rand Paul. You can say that, and it's probably true, because if you listen to the other politicians, the most they would do is say, yeah, this needs to be done, and we would have done it if it wasn't for Edward Snowden stealing all those documents, you know, basically just trying not to seem like you're siding with somebody who's controversial, and like, yeah, we would have done it anyway, and we all know you wouldn't have. We all know that you were not doing a damn thing, and you would have continued not doing a damn thing. It's, I don't mean to be too cynical, but I think that's pretty much how it is right now. I also think that, you know, the White House and the people in charge are happy with the way things went. I think the whole thing was calculated and manipulated, and yeah, now we have the Freedom Act instead, and basically our phone calls or our metadata is going to be monitored by companies instead of governments, and they're just going to have, you know, a few different ways of exchanging the information, but they're all going to get what they want.
Right, it'll look different and be maybe more convoluted or complex in a workflow sense or in practice, but and the real ultra cynical, I think before that there was a sentiment being expressed that yeah, a lot of this stuff is regardless of this law, I mean it's going to occur anyway, either in secret or through other channels or other local, state, or federal
right.
laws, mandates, whatever, powers, executive orders, so on and so forth. So, interesting stuff. And, not to be eclipsed. I mean, yeah, between that and FIFA, I don't know. I don't know which was more of a... had more of a people's attention and was more captivating, I think. I don't know, but I really I am glad that people spoke out and that are concerned.
That was an aside. I brought up C-SPAN because I was making another point before that. Do you remember what it was? I was talking about, we were talking about football, FIFA, NFL, and George W. Bush and the war. I'm sure the point was made in there somewhere. If not, I'll listen to the show and make it next week. But, stand up for what you believe in. Oh, we have the power. Yes, that's what I was trying to say. We have the power. We're like little matches, okay? And the government's like a big fuel tank, all right? A fuel tank can't light itself on fire. You have to do that for it. You have to light the match and throw it into the fuel tank.
That's right. That's the perfect analogy.
Thank you.
Yeah. Definitely.
And we have that power, we have that freedom, and politicians do not.
For the Molotov tank that is democracy.
Oh, yes. The address to write to...
Exploding freedom everywhere.
And send your thoughts and complaints is...
To OTW...
Yes.
At 2600.horse.
2600.horse. That's correct. That is our email address. OTW at 2600.horse.
And
wait, you know what? I'm not sure if the email will work there. I know the website will work. If you go to 2600.horse, it will work. But you might want to keep sending email to otw@2600.com until I'm not sure if the mail will go that way.
Well, it's in the works. That's actually you can participate in that test maybe later on this evening. We'll get our crack email division web cyber division. They'll do that. But we also have a telephone here. OTW@2600.com. We have a telephone here. It is 631-632-6901. If you're on campus at Stony Brook, it's 262-6901.
Wait, people don't know when you restarted saying the numbers. You said 2626, so people might dial that.
It's 2-6901.
That's right. Yeah.
And you can stream at WUSB.FM or tune your radio to 90.1.FM. And that's a great station. There's a lot of other great programs on this fantastic station.
You know, we were listening to the station many times over the last few weeks and commenting that, wow, you know, the sound is really pretty good. We've got some really good material. We were listening last night to John O's show. We were listening to Lister, Charlie Backford, people who basically are as good as anybody you would put on commercial radio, in fact, better. These are people that do shows here, you know, Kibret and
there must be a subconscious a competition, friendly competition going on for excellence, because there's some excellence in broadcasting that floats around here at WUSB.
It's called freedom, Kyle. It's called the freedom to do as you wish. And
how does that work?
Hang on.
Where do I sign up?
Read the second page here. That freedom allows you to program as you wish and to play the songs that and talk about the music as you feel is appropriate yourself.
Yeah, and you know, you can play songs on radio and talk about the songs and give a little background, and just like these stories we read to you with talk shows, we talk about the background of some of the places and context for some of the issues, and that's what makes great radios, when you realize, wow, this is not just a person telling you what frequency or what time, they're invested in the music. They pulled some things together. They wanted to bring this issue up and interview this person. Whatever it is, that's what makes people keep listening and it's really the storytelling. It's, you know, the story behind the music, the story behind a story in the news or an experience that we have during our week that we think parallels a lot of what other people have to say. And the other part of that is that you can participate too in community radio. Mm-hmm. And people like myself and the myriad of students who are not here right now, everybody's on break. Happy graduation to all of you.
Except those of you who failed and didn't leave.
Right, right.
Well, I guess you have to leave anyway, but...
Right, or you are dead set on your graduate degree.
That too.
Or pretty much the same thing. You failed your graduate degree and you're going back to try to finish that to like maybe get into the PhD program that you really probably won't ever get into or finish once you get there.
Or you just lurk on campus like some people do.
Right, you just pretend to be in classes, but then, you know, you switch roles and push like the garbage cans on wheels or something, and like and then like really anger the janitors who are working because you're taking their work and impersonating them, for crying out loud. And then you're chased off campus and oh my God.
Yeah, there's a whole big story that could be
told.
We
know about the diverse community of Stony Brookites.
But you mentioned how other stations tell you the time and temperature, and we neglected to tell you the time and temperature. It's 6:36 p.m., 11 degrees Celsius, because we do talk Celsius here in Stony Brook, New York. And, you know, looking at that clock there, brings to mind, we have the 24-hour clock up there. It's a circular 24-hour clock, which is very weird. So it actually looks like it's 20 to 10 now, when it's really almost 20 to 7, because that's just how a 24-hour clock would look if you saw one. But, you know, the expression, which we use quite frequently, saying even a broken clock is right twice a day, this clock could only be right once a day, because it's a 24-hour clock. Think about that. Everything is different here at USB. everything. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's a special place, and there's exciting things coming up. There will be more interesting radio, and we're still waiting on word for our big move. Yeah.
Yeah, that's coming.
Huge capital improvements around here, and basically, we're going to reconfigure, do a little retro engineering, maybe some new gear. Oh, all new gear, maybe. Who knows? These digital times are really fancy, and a place like this deserves it. So, if you haven't heard about that, that is a reason to stay tuned, because that will bring us on par with the greatest space stations in the universe.
Space station, yeah.
Yeah, we'll have a master control that is the envy of all terrestrial or
it's not so much the equipment, it's how you use it, it's what you do with it. And I think we are always going to be people that experiment and do interesting things with whatever equipment we have,
or extraterrestrial broadcasts. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we work with what we've got, and gosh darn it, you're doing a great job, everyone. We've really enjoyed some of the programming, and like I said, I think there's a small competition.
otw@2600.com is our email address. Let's read one of those emails that have come in the last couple of weeks. Thanks so much for the show, guys. We used to see horseshoe crabs crawling around under the bridges near Jones Beach. We're talking about horseshoe crabs a couple of weeks ago. If you take Ocean Parkway towards the beach, that's the parkway where they find dismembered people sometimes.
That one, yeah, sure.
Usually, it's a nice bypass during the rush hour to drive east or west. It's right next to the ocean, but apparently some people feel it's also a convenient dumping ground for unpleasantness. But if you take the Ocean Parkway towards the beaches and stop at the first or second bridge, you'll see a bunch of horseshoe crabs walking around the beach. Well, not if they walk around. I guess they are walking. They're not just taking a stroll, you know, on the boardwalk or anything like that. They're crabs. They're on the ground. They're crawling, but they look weird because it's like this oblong, circular thing with a what do you call that? A stick sticking out?
Stinger.
It's not a stinger, though.
A barb.
Yeah, it's used to write them, and they get upside down a lot. But somehow this writes them, although it doesn't seem to work that well. Because you see a lot of them that have died upside down.
I can't believe you're sitting here criticizing a bazillion-year-old species, telling it, wow, you know, you really should have evolved by now.
I'm just saying.
Boy, that's some armchair.
There would be more of them if they were able to right themselves more. This is why we need to help them. When you see them upside down, put them right side up.
Yeah, well, you know, you have a point there.
They'll probably do it again, okay. But at least they'll live a little bit longer. Anyway, finishing with this letter, horseshoe crabs walking around the beach. We used to fish there around midnight and see tons of them. I think a lot of them come out at night. In fact, we saw a couple. Actually, you know, let me
dusk.
Get to that. Let me get to that after I read the letter.
We have seen
never finished this.
Go ahead.
Anyway, I miss Long Island so much. I lived there my whole life. I never got a tick. Well, good for you. Good for you.
Skill.
This letter is from Phil, by the way. Thank you, Phil, for this letter, and congratulations on never getting a tick. It's worth getting a tick to see what it's like, you know? I mean, you find it, you pull it off, and then you watch what happens to your skin. It's part of living. I here in western North Carolina, which is where Phil apparently wound up, it's tick-ridden. And those are southern ticks, too.
Southern ticks.
They're nasty.
Nasty
they ticks. Say the... let's see, not all deer ticks have Lyme disease. Yeah, that's true, too. They're the tiny ticks. Some of them have Lyme disease, and it freaks people out, and they want to kill all the deer because they don't... The thing is, even if you kill all the deer, the ticks are still out there, and now they're hungry because there's no deer, you know?
If you want to worry about that, worry about anthrax. It's in the soil.
Anyway, Phil goes on to suggest checking out the Massapequa Preserve. Amazing nature there. Swans in Brady Park in Massapequa are so aggressive and scary. They come at you hissing and stuff. You ever have a swan come chasing you hissing? It's an experience. No, they'll mess you up. They will. Anyway,
no, I've never antagonized a swan.
I got stung six or more times by yellow jackets. They're aggressive. So, yeah, you just got to not... not antagonize him. I think Phil believes he might have burnt up some bad karma. He used to light their nests on fire after spraying them with Aquanet. Well, okay, you know, people have different ways of dealing with, with wildlife. But, yeah, it's an amazing place as far as just seeing all kinds of flora and fauna coming forward. And it's good to hear people who were here once remembering that. Okay, so we saw actually two horseshoe crabs. We were looking for them, high tide.
Yeah, they were carpooling, let's put it that way.
Yeah, they were having a close conversation.
Crab pooling.
Yeah, they were basically just connected. We were looking in the water, and we saw them moving fast in the water and going towards the shore.
Yeah, they're coming inland as the tide was, I don't know where it was, but yeah, it was definitely, they were going from deep to shallow. So they could come up, I guess. I guess they can't swim to the surface independently in like the deep stuff.
They basically came to shore,
uh-huh.
And it was like a train stopping because they just sort of came to shore and they hung out there for maybe 3 minutes or so. And then they just said, okay, we're leaving now. They just went right back into the water. But it was weird because when they were on the shore, you just kind of heard them crunching against the rock because they were like moving, walking, as our a listener would say. And then off they went back into the water. And that is a horseshoe crab. Now, it's kind of unique here on the East Coast, particularly here in this area, because they don't exist in other places. They are very, very rare. And in fact, there is controversy because there's a lot of horseshoe crab harvesting going on. We have bans in effect around this area. We have limits in other areas. You know, it turns out their blood is very valuable. And
it's blue.
It's blue blood, and it goes for an obscene amount of money. It serves some medical purpose.
Apparently, it's copper-based.
Yeah. But you know what? That's no excuse to deplete this amazing bit of history. Because, you know, the Atlantic horseshoe crab, there's actually four varieties, but this is the one that's here. And it's a near-threatened state, which to me is close enough to being threatened. If you're near-threatened, I think you're pretty much threatened.
Right.
They're the ones that are found on the eastern seaboard, and specifically up here in Long Island. Are you ready for this, Kyle? Are you ready to find out how old these animals are? How long they've been on Earth? Not the particular ones that we might have seen.
Yeah, I think I am. I think so.
They can live for quite some time. I think they can live to be, 30 years old or something like that, which is, you know, quite amazing right there for crustacean. But they have been on this Earth. Okay, here's the lifespan, 20 to 40 years. Wow. Imagine being 40 years a horseshoe crab. That's something. Okay, we've been on this Earth for a couple of million years. You know, not much more than that. They've been around 450 million years.
Wow. That's a lot of years.
Yeah, a stronger word than wow would be appropriate at a time like this. Gazooks, for instance, or just, you know, passing out cold would certainly that would, yeah. Okay, how do I put this in words people might understand?
That was a gasp, by the way.
Well, it should have been. Okay, you had this Jesus Christ, right? Heard of him? Everything in our society is based upon, our year is based upon Christ. This is 2015 AD, you know, after the birth of Christ.
Right.
We start with zero. So obviously we're around a lot longer. Well, not obvious to some people, but obvious to most educated people that humans have been around a long time. But this is where we start measuring years from zero to now. 2,000 years. All right. Here's what I'm going to do. Just move over here.
Okay. Yeah. Right. It's.
I've got my arm.
Right.
Touching you right now.
Yeah.
All right. Do you hear me?
Yeah. I can hear you.
This represents the period of Christ to modern period. All right.
Oh, yeah. Well, that makes sense because it's like about arm's length.
Right here. Christ I'm not that far.
You could be close to Christ. Christ would be like an arm's length away. And then, wait, you're.
I'm going back a little further.
Okay, but how do I know how far that is? Is that
half arm's length now represents where the ancient Greeks are. So about 3,000 years ago is the ancient Greeks.
Okay.
Okay? Now, I'm standing by the door now. This is like where ancient Egypt was. All right?
Yeah. I see. No, I see you, but you're like, there's like four chairs between us now.
Right. Now, for me to go further back than this, right, let's, like, Neanderthals, for instance, that's like 50,000 years ago. I have to leave the room.
Okay, you're leaving. He's going out. I can't see you. I can't see him at all. Okay, you're... All right, this is off the wall. We're talking about how old horseshoe crabs are. I don't know where he's gone. He's trying to illustrate to me the age. I don't know what to do. He left the sheet here. The age of a horseshoe crab. And he just said Neanderthals are about from here to the door to the studio. Oh, who's this? All right, hold on, hold on. Who's this?
Yeah, Kyle, I'm sorry. I just realized I have to basically be halfway across campus to be where the Neanderthals are to represent how far away they are. Okay, and that's only 50,000 years in the past. So I'm going to try and catch a bus so that I can get there and indicate how far away that is.
How are you? Wait, do you have enough bus fare? Do you need a... That's even further than I thought. I was just saying you'd expressed from here to the outside the doors Neanderthal, and you're saying that. So, are you taking a Stony Brook bus?
Yeah, I've decided this is probably... Hang on. I'm just going to come back because this is very quickly getting out of control. 50,000 years is really nothing, isn't it? When you talk 450 million years, I mean, do you know how far... Hang on. Back at the station now. Do you know how far it is?
I'm back. I'm sorry. Basically,
yeah.
Okay, I should have thought this through. For me to get 50,000 50,000 years in the past with that arm parallel I just drew.
Right.
I would have to be across campus, but then...
Like at one of the stadiums or the baseball fields or something.
I didn't think this through because 10 times that distance is still only 500,000 years. So I'd have to go 20 times that distance to get to 1 million years. Okay? And that would probably put me, deep into Nassau County, maybe even in the city. And then to illustrate how old horseshoe crabs are, I'd have to do that 450 more times. That's how far away I'd have to be. For me to say arm's length from you to me represents the period when Christ was born, that is how far in the past horseshoe crabs have been around for. So, folks, leave them alone, for God's sake, all right?
That's a heck of a long way. I mean, that's almost the Midwest, I think.
I'm out of breath. Well, they have no horseshoe crabs, too, by the way.
None. None whatsoever.
You want to take phone calls?
Yeah, 631-632-6901. That's 1-631-632-6901. If you're on campus, it's 2-6901.
Yeah, if you're overseas, dial additional digits as needed.
If you're in IRC, get out of IRC and pick up a phone.
Really? I mean, we can't see what you're typing. And if we did, we wouldn't be able to carry on conversation because we'd be distracted.
But the news station will have IRC.
Really?
Running on a... it'll be running on a...
Who told you this?
It'll be running on a Wang machine. We'll have a Wang machine here at Stony Brook.
I just realized we have three headphones in this room. That's never happened
before. And
it'll
be connected to... Oh, my God. Feedback. What the heck?
That's because we have too many headphones for the first time ever.
To irc.2600.net, which there are people in there at...
What channel?
Pound off the wall spelled out.
Okay, without any dashes or underlines or anything like that.
All lowercase, off the wall, in the irc.2600.net. But 631-632-6901, please give us a call. We'll take your call. Get into our fabulous delay.
Only go into delay when we see the phone lines ring, because it's so stressful.
If it rings, we'll go into delay. Yeah. Well,
and maybe if it rings more than once, so that we have at least two calls we know we can go to. No one feels like talking tonight, then we can stay live and not go to delay. It's really... painful and stressful process. And I can't see the phone. Only you can see the phone, Kyle. So if we have no phone calls coming in, then...
It's okay. We'll just we'll finish up the show and let Finn get in here or whatever is next.
Speaking of award-winning radio, yes. So,
yeah, no kidding.
Keep
Come
that
on now.
Dial super glued to 90.1 FM.
Revolution.
631-632-6901. If you have thoughts or opinions on anything going on in the world today, horseshoe crabs or FIFA or the history of mankind or... anything else that we've been talking about? It just seems like there's so many different things going on. We have other stories to get into as well, and other experiences. And we found out there's a new ferry that goes from Port Jefferson to New York City. How do you think
we have
about
a phone
that?
Call.
Well, I just started talking about something.
Yes, the Port Jefferson ferry, to Manhattan, I believe, from Port Jefferson. That's awesome.
Yes,
and it's a summertime thing. They're doing it. For foot traffic, maybe bicycles, stuff like that. And they had the inaugural ferry ride. And we went down and we greeted it.
We saw the first one come in. It's only on the weekends, and it's only over the summer.
All right.
And you're not in delay yet.
Yeah, I'm working on it.
Okay. So 631-632-6901. I will let Kyle do what he has to do to get into delay.
Hi, this is Joey Ramone of the Ramones, and you can hear all the best in rock right here on WUSB Stony Brook.
Sure, go ahead. Yeah?
Was a, I think there still is, an actual harvest, your hunting season, if you will, for horseshoe crabs. And people used to bring them in by the, mix them with other fish and freeze them for people who went out shark fishing that would spend, you know, $500 or $600 a day to go shark fishing out in the canyons in Montauk. And they smelled really, really bad, but, you know, I sold lots and lots and lots of this bait. And now that I know what I did, I feel sort of kind of bad about it. I mean, I was just a stupid clerk behind the cash register.
Oh, yeah?
Just to let you know that, I mean, you know, in the late 80s, that's what they used to do. I don't know, I guess maybe they still do it. I don't know.
Well, so keep an eye out for large quantities like that. People doing that kind of sale in that would be a lot more than is okay now. I think it's 5 per person now.
Is that what it is? Oh, okay, so it has changed.
Yeah, 5 crabs per person. So,
that's actually good to know that.
Cool. Well, hey, thanks for your call, and thanks for listening.
Not a problem with that. Carry on.
All right, yeah.
I'm sorry about that, Kyle, but our delay machine failed again and wasn't working at all. So
we
had to cut live.
Wow.
You did everything right. Everything's plugged in properly. All the switches are thrown. And it just stopped. It's probably the university pumping heat into here and destroying our equipment again. And that's an expensive piece of equipment, folks. So
well, I'm still trying to back bill them for therapy, and maybe they'll get back to some of the CD players and delay machines that they're going to fix, and battery backups and all that good stuff that makes radio fun.
Yes, plus that ID was 32 seconds long, but that actually helped us.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, now that helped us because it filled the space of what would normally have been just plain dead air.
That's actually lucky. I should have looked out for that. I didn't even look at the time. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. That's okay. It was fortuitous. But what I would suggest, because the only time we can troubleshoot this is when we're on the air, unfortunately, is that you throw something into Audition there.
Okay.
And we will both... No, keep that up. Just maybe an ID or something, and just play it in Audition.
Okay.
And maybe something longer than that. Yes. Like what you just played. Play that again. And play it on Audition, and if we hear it come up, we know that delay is fixed. Okay? Yeah.
Okay.
So we should be able to just go ahead and do our regular show. In 7 seconds, if it was working, we would hear it come up.
I see. Because we have everything turned up. Did we... need to turn that up?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't
do
that.
7 seconds from now.
Yeah. Wow. So it'll be part of the legal ID.
We might hear it. Oh, there it is. See, that's how crappy it sounds. It shouldn't sound like that. It should sound full. That's what you were sounding like. You know?
Yeah. What's up with that?
I don't know. But
it's fun, though. This is fun.
Why don't you talk while
we're having fun?
I'm going to mess with.
Yeah, mess with it. Yeah. That's a yeah. That's a patch bay. Yeah, mess with that. Now we mix with this. Hit it again. Yeah, we need the test sounds. We'll bust that up. Yeah, we got bust the move. Playing the Ramones legal ID. And yeah, we hear it, but golly, this would be awesome if it worked really well. And actually, most places have the same unit, and it's on all the time, right? So that no matter what, I could just press dump, and it would activate it.
Okay, well, I'm going to try, you know, we're out of time, so it doesn't even matter at this point. This equipment keeps destroying our shows. I don't know what to say. Last time the delay unit failed, we just reset it, and it started working again. So let's try that at least and see if that might fix it. So,
okay, sure.
So I've just turned it off. I'm going to turn it on again.
Okay. Do you need me to play another?
Well, after it warms up. It has to warm up now.
Should we do a different one?
Yeah, in case this is driving people crazy.
No. They're already crazy. They listen to us.
Okay, we have to wait for the light to go on. Feel free to talk about something else.
Okay. I take that last remark back. You're not crazy. You're awesome. You're crazy awesome. We like you, you know, and we're glad you're listening. And this is off the wall. And
okay, try it now. All right, in 7 seconds, it's either going to do the same thing or it'll sound better just because I turned it off and on again.
Sweet.
Oh, it sounds just as lousy.
Yeah.
All right, so we have a bona fide issue now, which hopefully somebody will fix.
I'm turning it up.
Yeah, that sounds awful.
Wow.
I don't know if we want to hear that at this particular time, but something is not right, and we'll try and get on it. And yeah.
I'm just turning it up.
We're out of time, Kyle. I'm sorry.
Oh, darn.
You can write to us, otw@2600.com. We'll happily read your emails and do better next time. Kyle, have a good trip.
Hey, I will. Thanks for that. And I'll see everyone next time, but I will call in.
Good night.
Good night.
Good evening, one and all. We're all so glad to see you here. We'll play your favorite songs while you also have the atmosphere. We'll start with Oval River, then maybe Stormy Weather, too. I'm sure you know just what to do. On with the show. Good health to you. Cabaret. Your wife will never know that you're not really working late. Your hostess here is Wendy. You'll find her very friendly too. And we don't care just what you do. On with the show. Good health to you. Bettina starts the show at 2 o'clock.
Well, Margarita gets quite a few lately.
Oh, it's by chance you find that you can't make it anymore. We'll put you in a cab and get you safely to the door. Oh, we've got all the answers, and we've got lovely dancers too. There's nothing else you have to do.
On with the show that helps you. You're all such lovely people dancing gaily around the floor.
Yeah, kids, this is Finn. This is Finn's Revolution, WUSB, Stony Brook. In just a couple of moments, we have Robert Sloan talking about his next big gig coming up for Long Island Musicians, which is in about a week and a half. And then we have the lovely, the talented Barbara and Bronca, who'll be telling us about some environmental dangers and singing about them. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
disagree. You read it in the papers, tracks are on TV. Beware the Southeast Yard of 1984. They'll split your pretty cranium, fill it full of air, tell you that you're 80, lover you won't care. They'll be shooting up on anything, tomorrow's never there. Beware the Southeast Yard.
That's right, David Bowie, 1984. Yeah, my name is Finn. This is Finn's Revolution, which is on, which is on until 9 p.m. right here on WUSB Stony Brook. And tonight we have some special stuff happening, as we always do. In just a few moments, Mr. Robert Sloan will be on the air with us, talking about Music Made on Long Island, a great showcase that's happening over at the Westbury Theater on the 13th at 7 o'clock. So we're going to talk a little about that. Meanwhile, we're going to hear one of the bands that are going to be playing there right now, Memphis Crawl, which will be playing there next week on the 13th in Westbury. So, yeah. So here's a little something from Memphis Crawl, and in a few minutes, Robert Sloan.
When she tried to sing along, love was giving into the song. She's a girl, she's a woman, she's alone.